Good morning. The time is 8:07. Currently at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau, partly cloudy skies and 62 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up here on the program, we will be talking in just a few minutes at about 8:15 a.m. to the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. We'll talk about some of the headlines with Pat Kreitlow at 8:15. Also coming up in this hour, we'll get some new information in terms of the investigation from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction on the Wausau school issue with the Wausau East band teacher that began earlier this year, ultimately led to the band teacher leaving, but still questions in terms of how the entire operation was handled. We'll find out what the latest news is on that coming up a little bit later on in this hour. We'll be looking at things in a more positive way in the second hour when we get a chance to talk to the head football coach of Wausau East High School, as Tyler Kramer is the head coach of the Lumberjacks. Exciting week for Wausau East. They are kicking off their 2023 season tomorrow night, traveling to Lakeland to take on the Thunderbirds. But for Wausau East, it's big because they have not played varsity 11-player football for the last 2 years. In fact, over the last 3 years, they've had a total of 2 varsity football games. The last came in October of 2020. But numbers are up, enthusiasm is up, and hopes are up for Wausau East football. So we'll find out about the Lumberjacks, what they're hoping to accomplish, talk a little bit about their team with Tyler Kramer, the head football coach, coming up in hour number 2 of the program. So that's all coming up here today. I'm going to start off a little differently here this morning. We'll get into the news of the day with Pat Kreitlow here in just a couple of moments. But there's one thing in life that I find exceptionally frustrating. I'm not going to say more frustrating than anything else, but pretty frustrating. And I wonder if you feel the same way. I'm driving into work this morning, and I take a back route here to our station. I live in Weston. I come here to our East Wausau Avenue studios by taking Camp Phillips Road the back way, and then past Land Art and coming down East Wausau Avenue to get here. And there is a couple of four-way stops on Camp Phillips on our way here to Wausau. I hate four-way stops. And I've decided that, and again, I don't think I'm ever going to do this, but if I ever ran for office, I would run on a no four-way stop platform, because we spend so much time looking at each other because we know what the right of way is. If you get to the stop at the same time, and it feels like it happens all the time to me, people look at each other, they're waving them on. There is a right of way. If you remember back in high school when you took driver's education, you learn who has the right of way when you stop at the same time at a four-way stop. Person on the right has the right of way. No, you don't look at each other. You don't start waving the other person when you have the right of way. I am so tired of that. And it happened again this morning. And in fact, there were a couple of cars in front of me as we got to the stop. And there was a car, you know, basically had the right of way. It let one car go through. It let 2 cars go through. It let 3 cars go through. You have the right of way and you're waiting for everybody else to go. I understand being careful. But at the same time, learn. If you have the right of way, go. And be prepared to hit the brake if the other person goes at the same time. But that's a whole different subject. But the point of being, again, we are in a situation where you need to be able to, you know the rules of the road. But bottom line is, if I was running for office, if I was to become overall ruler of either a community, a state, or a country, running on the no four-way stop platform, make up our minds. Put the stop signs on one direction or the other. And then, because, I mean, especially here on Camp Phillips, it's not as though there is constant traffic going all the time. If you choose to put the stop signs, you know, going east, west, or north, south, whatever direction, it's not going to be a case where you're stuck there for 20 minutes. There's openings all the time. So, again, it's just a frustrating aspect that to start my day off that way was not the most ideal. But nevertheless, thought I'd share that. One of the good things about being in front of a microphone here starting just after 8 o'clock in the morning is I get a chance to vent to you. And you got to listen to it. Well, not necessarily, but I am glad you are tuned in. Glad you could be here on this Thursday morning, getting closer and closer to the weekend. A big weekend, of course. Exciting one for me. It's going on another year of covering high school football tomorrow night. Wausau West at Superior tomorrow evening, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app. Get that Civic Media app. You'll be using it, I guarantee it, with the coverage of high school football that we have this season, because we have our Sports 2 stream on there and our Sports 3 stream on there as well. So, again, make sure you get that Civic Media app before the start of the season. We're going to take a quick two-minute break and then come back and have our weekly discussion with the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. Pat is coming up next. It is 8:12. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:15, mostly cloudy skies, 62 degrees here in Wausau. And very happy to welcome back for our Thursday morning visit with the host of Up North News Radio, which of course you hear each and every weekday from 6 until 8 here on Bow Falls Radio and on the Civic Media app, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Yeah, and another thing I don't like is people at yellow lights and they just speed up. Why are people driving the way that they are?
Hey, I tell you.
Get off my lawn.
Hey, I know. I'm getting so old. And I have to admit, I took advantage of my position to vent early.
Oh, no. No, radio hosts never do that. Yeah. They never take personal time to tell you what bothers them.
I feel a little dirty about it, but I think I'll get over it.
No. Don't. It's got to be said. You know, but what I noticed that you did it without that other curse word about the subject. You didn't use that curse word roundabout, because boy, does that trigger some conversations. But that's essentially what you're saying, my friend, is that, you know, and I, as one of the first pro roundabout people, I was pro roundabout before they even started building them here, that you need those. You need them designed just right, but you need those, because these four ways, oh, I tell you, sometimes the line that builds up, if one person screws it up, will just make your blood pressure pop.
Just know the right of ways. Be simple and know the right of ways. And and you get so frustrated with the waivers. Hey, you have the right of way, dude. Go. don't get me down this rabbit hole. I'll be talking about it for 2 hours.
No. It's okay. I already know that both my daughters are excellent safe drivers, but they're safe drivers who cuss a lot because they sat in the back seat as my mom, you know, was their child care provider for many years. And so they every time I hear them now, I'm like, oh, there's Grandma Joni. Hi, Grandma. How are you? I see you've taught my daughter some new words, you know.
Before we talk interesting news, I was tuned in last Friday listening to you, and you guys got into a conversation about the Premier League in soccer. And it was almost as though, you know, not many people, you know, it was, I could tell neither of you guys were into it. I'm going to tell you, that was a big weekend last weekend with the return of the Premier League. And I wanted to ask you, when you're away from, you know, trying to, you know, dig into the big stories for Up North News, both on the site and for your program, is there a sport that you find yourself watching a lot that this is the one I'm going to, you know, take the time for and follow, whether it's, you know, online with stories and the like? What does Pat Kreitlow go to get away from the, I wouldn't call it the grind of Up North News, but maybe the pressure of Up North News, both the site and the radio show?
Well, again, being a true old man in this business, unlike, you know, what you're an old man in training, but as an old man, I was raised on baseball, and I am almost George Will-like in my romanticism for the game. have the Brewers game on, you know, pretty much almost every night when they're not on the West Coast, of course.
Right.
And I just find it very comforting. I love the new rules because I love the comfort, but, you know, we don't need a 3.5-hour game, boys and girls, so 2.5 hours is just fine. It's not the only, you know, sport for me, but if you said there was only one sport I could watch, it would be baseball. And then the ancillary answer will surprise you. It would be cricket.
Mm.
And that is because of the 3 years that we lived down on Grand Cayman in the Caribbean there. And, you know, not only are people down there big fans of the English Premier League, but cricket is a big thing in many countries around the world. It's a lot like baseball. It's like a combination of the old game hot box and the home run derby with just a few other wrinkles in it. And when I first got there, I kind of mocked it because it seemed so complex, the rules. I used to say, nobody knows the rules. They actually all just pretend to watch it. But over time, I got to know the rules, and it's actually one of the things I miss, is I would watch cricket if it was on TV here.
Very, very cool. Again, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, 6 to 8 a.m. here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You put out a link to a New York Times story yesterday concerning a local institution around here, the WASA Pilot and Review, and a suit that our state senator, and I, you know, deep breath there when I say that, but Corey Tomchek, the state senator, replaced Jerry Petruski after the last election. And the pilot had reported that Mr. Tomchek had used a slur at an event prior to when he was in office. And this story comes out at, again, an interesting time because this story has been around for a while. In fact, I kind of lost sight of it for a while before this Time story came back. This story and also the story that came out of Kansas last week where local authorities basically, it felt like a Gestapo state because a story was written about an upstanding citizen who had been caught drunk driving about, I think, 15 years ago, didn't like the fact it was reported on. These stories are scary, aren't they? It really is, isn't it?
Of course, they should be. They should scare more people. Unfortunately, you know, far too many people have become, you know, jaded and negative about things like, you know, the right to vote, the freedom of the press, you know, things like that. And I would just, again, urge people not to let the cynicism of the era get in the way of your core values, you know, values of, you know, democracy and how democracy does not happen without a free press that can hold people accountable. We still have rules about slander, libel, defamation. They're all still out there. But when you abuse that process because you have the money, the power, or the connections to do so, you are acting in a way that is completely antithetical to American democracy and deserve every bit of criticism that you get. And if that includes, you know, moving forward with a lawsuit for using a homophobic slur that you have already acknowledged is in your vocabulary and gets used on occasion, at some point, you're using the system, especially as an elected official, and it is not a good look, and you really ought to consider standing down.
Yeah, and that's, you know, on the Tomchek case, you're exactly right, trying to use, you know, financial resources to basically shut down an operation that you don't like. And in the Kansas situation, where it's actually the police, and the police basically skirting their own rules in order to, and again, ultimately for the same goal, to close down an operation that they and their allies within that small Kansas community like. And then when, after this came through, the chief would not return calls. Oh, he wasn't around. He's not available. I mean, again, I mean, it's one thing with Tomchek using his money. This is the actual power of the law trying to close down a media organization, which, I mean, I'm not to say that, you know, that Tomchek using his money isn't chilling, but this is really something else.
No, it's another thing to use police powers to do this and to jump immediately into the search warrant phase rather than the subpoena phase.
Yes.
If this business person in Kansas, you know, felt wronged, they could file suit. They could have material subpoenaed. If the police got a tip that they claim somebody tipped them off that the newspaper was engaged in identity theft and computer crimes, again, they could get a subpoena and go through court. So the police who asked for it, the judge who granted it, deserve every bit of scorn, and I hope legal retribution as well, because this is such an outlandish, illegal use of power by a police force, and deserves all of it deserves the condemnation, but I hope there's accountability too. And the other last thing I'd say about it is, I understand the respect for the chain of command, but in this instance in Kansas, much like the George Floyd situation and in plenty of other situations, there needs to be more examples of somebody down the chain, but who's on the scene saying, boss, Sarge, whoever, I don't know about this. I don't think this is a good idea. And I understand that that's a very tough position to be in, but we've had too many instances where people were just trying to be, you know, quote unquote, good soldiers or didn't feel like they could speak up. More people need to speak up when they see basic tenets of the law being violated by the people we trust to uphold the law.
Speaking of good soldiers, earlier this morning on your program, I was, you know, tuned in the first hour, and you had Joe Sopecki on, and you had asked him about, you know, obviously this Republican debate coming up next week, and asked him for the headline, and he had said, Trump looms large. And that kind of stuck with me, not beyond the debate. I remember back in 2016, in November of 2016, in the days before the election, I thought to myself, I'm going to be so happy not to hear from Donald Trump all the time. Because I was assuming he was going to lose in 2016. I was hoping he was going to lose in 2016 because that year had just been, you know, nuts in terms of seeing Donald Trump all the time. Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And here we are in August of 2023, and, you know, every hour on the hour with our news updates, it's Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Beyond the debate where Trump looms large. Is this affecting adversely in some way the president in terms of undercutting, again, what I think are a lot of accomplishments, because you talked as well about his visit to Milwaukee this week. And as we go into the cycle, again, where all the media energy is focusing on Trump and his legal troubles with more than 100 charges now filed, how do you think this Trump looming large is affecting the president and Democrats as a whole as we head into the next cycle?
You know, the easy answer would be to say, yes, it does have an effect on President Biden and the Democrats, but I'm going to take the opposite approach, and I'm going to say this. President Biden and the Democrats still have agency. They still have a megaphone. They still have money, and they have access. And I think it was a week ago we were talking about how Democrats overall, and the Biden administration in particular, need to do a better job of tooting their own horn. Now, granted, you know, the fact that a former president of the United States is finally facing criminal accountability for running a criminal organization intending to steal the election, yes, that sucks a lot of oxygen out of the room, but you can't let that be any kind of an excuse not to try to put your messages out there about your accomplishments and everything else. So Trump can loom large, but we've seen Joe Biden run against him before. I know polling says people don't want to see it again. I sympathize with that. But if that's what we get, I think that Joe Biden will again have a case to make at the time against Trump. But until that moment comes, he's doing the right thing of talking up what he's gotten done. And he should continue doing that and frankly, you know, ramp up the volume on that, too.
And going back to the president in Milwaukee, and of course we had it broadcast live over the stations of Civic Media, I really enjoyed listening to the president talk about these issues. But I got to say, the thing that I really enjoy, and I hope we see the president come back over and over again in the next year, is he's got this really, I think, cool way of jabbing Ron Johnson. I mean, he really pokes Ron Johnson as well as anybody, and I almost would like to see somebody else in the state be able to poke Johnson the way that the president does. We saw that in the run-up to the election last year, and we saw it a few times again this week. Ron Johnson, the way I look at it, he's kind of a preposterous figure. He's just, you know, he comes out and he blows a lot of smoke, and the little pricks that the president gives against him when he comes into Wisconsin, I find to be a joyous thing.
The thing that I think people on the left side of the spectrum like about this is, and, you know, forgive me if this is getting to be an antiquated term in terms of, you know, good cop and bad cop. We have a lot of good cops. We have yeah. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who tries to stay above the fray and takes rather subtle digs. And Governor Tony Evers is a nice gentleman who will take some subtle digs. And then the big digs are taken by kind of, you know, the underlings, the groups, the parties and things. Joe Biden is the one example of a big name elected official who is happy to play the bad cop role and mock Senator Johnson for his positions and rightly call them out. We don't really have an elected official in the state that is willing to do that. So if you have a president of the United States who is willing to call out your senator for outlandish conspiracy theories and frankly wrong positions on, you know, what Washington should be doing for the American people, you can see why that is so well received by you and many others. And Biden's not going to stop. There is no love lost there. That is not an act. That is genuine feeling out of him. And you're going to hear it every time he comes to Wisconsin. It doesn't matter that Ron Johnson's not on the ballot. It's that when you see Ron Johnson, he's a multiplier to Trump. You take either the wrong positions or the misinformation or some of the clownish behavior, and Johnson is a multiplier when you say, oh, yeah, Trump is just another Trump and Johnson peas in a pod. We're stuck with Johnson. Do we want to be stuck with Trump again? So I see Biden continuing to do this all year long.
And I got to ask you one more thing about another character that I enjoy seeing taken down a notch or two, and hopefully will be taken down a notch coming up next year. For a couple of years, Derek Van Orden was, I thought, doing a pretty good job of being the nice guy in terms of trying to, I think, rehabilitate his image. But recently, the real Derek Van Orden has come back, and he got into a little Twitter feud yesterday with what he calls an activist reporter with an immensely biased rag who had the gall to mention his abuse of a teenager at the library in connection with his latest troubles. You can't hide who you are for too long in the public sphere, can you?
No, you really can't. And I thought it was funny that you said that he'd been trying to, you know,
be an adult, become an adult, basically.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that only lasted like a couple of months. We sometimes lose sight because some of these things seem to last forever. He's been a member of Congress for seven and a half months. That's it. And yet
you're
now
<right.
laughs> he's not only getting into these, you know, spats, he's not only engaging in reckless and I suspect, you know, semi-inebriated behavior, but now he's again, you know, on Twitter trying to trump it up essentially and say, well, if I bully people, I'm going to look all tough. But then right before Election Day, I will again try to look moderate. I'll try to look like the nice guy next door. But the more he engages in this, the more people go, I don't know that that's actually a good idea.
Man, you're right. It feels like it's been years. I guess I am getting old. It's only been seven and a half months. You're right. It's only been seven. It felt like it was longer. Oh, man.
It does. It does, but this is what we're going to see all the way through the campaign, and so that's why I'm glad that, you know, Mark Pocan is pushing Brian Stile to release any footage of him in the Capitol, and then he'll continue to be his own worst enemy because, again, he will show who he really is, and when people show who they really are, you should believe them.
That is exactly right. Well, Again, Pat Kreitlow. You can catch Pat in Up North News every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Pat. Have yourself a great weekend. Get out there on the water, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Chad. See ya.
Absolutely. Again, just great that Pat sticks around after his show on Thursdays to give us a few minutes here on the program. We need to take a break. We're going to come back and again talk about the latest Wisconsin Public Department of Public Instruction conducting an investigation into the discrimination related moves by the within the Wausau East band department and their teacher. We're going to talk about what's going on with that. Some new information out in the last day or so. So we'll discuss that coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:39, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, more news coming out concerning the ongoing issue at Wausau East that began earlier this year with the harassment based on race or sexual orientation of a student by the school's former band director. According to a news story at WausauPilotAndReview.com, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction is currently conducting an investigation of a discrimination-related determination by the Wausau School Board after a family filed an appeal challenging it. State officials confirmed yesterday. So that brings the number of DPI investigations involving the district to 2. Earlier this week, on Monday, the school board did discuss potential litigation related to the appeal against the district's previous decision. Please, no sound effects. Since the board is the final authority on such matters, according to the story, the state statute stipulates that the complainant may appeal a negative determination of the board to the state superintendent within 30 days of the board's decision. Wausau East Counselor Manny Yang Fongfatty filed the appeal related to her son's harassment based on race and or sexual orientation a few months ago. Again, to go back with the story, her son had made a complaint and talked, you know, to family members, and the family moved forward about some issues with the school's band director, Rob Perkins. Perkins ultimately did resign earlier this summer. But it took a lot of twists and turns during the course of this story. And it's led to these investigations at the state level. Because it was a decision that was basically that, yeah, we don't like what the band director did, but it doesn't rise to the level of harassment. And there was basically, you call it a slap on the wrist. And that led to a backlash from the family, a backlash from the community, and also generally a look at process. We've talked again. I may sound like a broken record at times when we talk about process. Process is important. You have a good process, it's like a recipe. If you follow the recipe well, your meal is probably going to be much more tasty. But if you don't follow the recipe properly, ultimately it will lead to a bad result. And that's the case here. It was a case where it appeared, again, from the outside to be a rushed investigation. If an investigation was handled in what you would call a true investigative way at all at the beginning. And it led to, you know, the poor decision not to be more strict in terms of the penalty towards Mr. Perkins. And then it was a step-by-step process that ultimately, from the outside, the Department of Public Instruction for the state of Wisconsin said, hey, there's something not right here. We need to take a look at this. So now there are two investigations going on. And that's going to leave the school district with some issues they have to deal with. And now they're going to have to, you know, wait and see what some of these results are. And who knows after that? There's always, I'm sure, the potential of further intervention within the courts for the family and somebody else, for others as well. In fact, an attorney representing the family told the Wausau Pilot and Review, the family is considering approaching a court or the U.S. Department of Education over the matter. So taking it even to the national level, perhaps. Chris Booker, a communications officer at the Department of Public Instruction, also told the Pilot that the appeal is under review and is in reference to the determination by the district that a pupil was not subjected to discrimination harassment based on race and or sexual orientation. And again, that's where it all started. The district came to the determination that the pupil was not subjected to discrimination harassment based on race or and or sexual orientation. Again, it's a sad story from top to bottom. It didn't have to be this way. It did not have to get to this point where we're seeing now state multiple investigations and perhaps even the family taking it to the federal level. So what happened on Monday? The school board also conferred with outside counsel, who submitted her report of an investigation related to a Title IX complaint, according to officials. She shared her recommendations during the closed session of the board's regular meeting. The Wausau School Board President, Jim Boucher, did confirm to the Pilot that the investigation is complete, declined to elaborate any further. And, of course, if you've got information in closed session, you're not going to be able to, I think, come out and speak on that issue until the entire board feels like it is something that needs to be done. The attorney, Alana Leffler, was appointed by the board in May to conduct an independent investigation after the school district dismissed the Title IX complaint in April. The district conducted the investigation after the family had filed the complaint in March against Rob Perkins for the allegations of making homophobic and racist comments in the classroom. The investigation conducted by district officials resulted in Perkins' reinstatement when Human Resources head Tabitha Gundrum found that the teacher's language did not rise to the level of harassment. Instead, and again, it just, let me, instead, Gundrum dismissed Perkins' comments as part of an effort to create a, quote, fun environment in the classroom. Again, it just, number one, the process at the start was completely messed up. The person who did the investigation, in all likelihood, should not have been the person to do the investigation. And it led down this very, very slippery slope. So we got the DPI investigation we just mentioned is underway. There's another DPI investigation into Perkins' teaching license that's ongoing. So, again, the DPI's communications officer told the Pilot yesterday the licensure of the individual Perkins is still under investigation. And then after the initial investigation done by the district that led to the reinstatement of Perkins, and the backlash included other students over the years coming back and saying, no, this is something that's been a problem within the district and within Wausau East, within the music program. So the students came and said that complaints in terms of this realm have been ignored and swept under the rug. And that's basically the term that comes to mind when you think about the original investigation and reinstatement. It happened so quickly, and it felt like they were just trying to move forward, throw it under the rug. And again, hopefully lessons have been learned in this situation. Obviously, the process in a number of different areas is continuing. But at the same time, boy, if you don't learn lessons during this whole, what would be the proper word? It's a difficult situation, then it would even be a bigger waste. And again, I will come back to what I was talking about back in the spring and during the summer here. Process matters. You need to have the right process in order to get a good decision. And I think, unfortunately, the Wausau School District is learning that lesson in a very painful way. The time is 8:48. We'll have more coming up here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show for a Thursday. Boy, these weeks go by so very quickly. Every week, every month, every year. Again, around young people and covering high school athletics. Then I remember back in high school, and I bet you remember back in high school as well, that the years seemed to go by so long. When you thought about being in junior high, thinking, oh man, I got another 5 years before I graduate high school. And it did feel like that would be forever. The years when you were in school seemed to just last and last and last. And as we get older, they just go faster and faster and faster. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I said, I'm looking for the brake pedal. Constantly, how do I make every day, every week, every month go by slower, where you're able to take it in? And my brake pedal doesn't work. It just keeps on going and going and going. It's just, again, it's hard to believe it's August the 17th, and we're nearing the two-thirds mark of 2023, and it's hard to believe we're going to be back into another presidential election cycle here very, very soon. In fact, starting basically next week with the first Republican presidential debate, which will be held in Milwaukee. Before we continue, got to mention again, on a more positive aspect, the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge. That's been going on since July. We've continued it here into August. And again, we're trying to do good things. We're trying not just to be, you know, sitting on the sidelines here and chirping about things and not doing anything. It's time to be involved. And we're trying to be involved in a positive way by trying to close a blood shortage that is going on not just here in Wisconsin, but throughout the country. So we have continued extending the blood donation challenge into August. So what you got to do is go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/giveblood. Again, that's civicmedia.us/giveblood. You'll have an opportunity then to find a blood donation center near you, be able to make an appointment. When you do make the appointment and go in to give blood, make sure you take a selfie of yourself giving blood. And then you'll be able to put it on your social media, whether Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, with the hashtag Civic Pints. Again, that's hashtag Civic Pints. And then you'll be able to be eligible for a prize. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets for the Brewers. Brewers, first place, heading down the stretch, pennant race. Big baseball coming up, and we got some great seats at American Family Field. We're giving away pairs of tickets to the crew. We're giving away tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair down in West Allis, and we're also giving away Civic Media Swag Pack. So plenty of ways to win while doing a great thing as well. It is the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge going on throughout the month of August. And again, go to civicmedia.us/giveblood. Coming up in the second hour, we are going to talk to the head football coach of the Wausau East Lumberjacks. And again, I think this is a really good story that you talk about having toughness as a young person. And if you are a football player, an athlete at Wausau East the last couple of years, it's been really tough. They have not played varsity football the last 2 years. And there have been kids that have stuck with the program, being part of an 8-man team 2 years ago, being part of a JV program last year. And they've worked, and they've been able to get back the numbers needed to compete in the Valley Football Association and get back on the field tomorrow night, the first varsity football game for Wausau East since October of 2020. Wausau East will play at Lakeland. And the head coach is a Wausau East guy, Wausau East graduate, Tyler Kramer. And we'll talk to Tyler Kramer about the journey to get to this point, about the young men who are on this team who have been leaders, who have stuck it out, who deserve the opportunity to play varsity football, to be able to play in a log game coming up. Haven't had the Wausau log game the last couple of years. Well, in a few weeks, week number 4 of the season, it'll be East and West at Tom Field in what could be and looks like the final battle for the Wausau log. But it's really, I think, something that hopefully the community gets behind as well. We got two in Wausau really interesting stories when it comes to high school football. You got Wausau East coming back after just battling through the depths of 2 years without varsity football. These young men, again, it would have been so easy to say, I don't even want to deal with it. We haven't had great success recently. We don't even have a varsity football team. But yet these guys formed the foundation for this program. And now they got good numbers of freshmen coming out. And it looks as though that football is back at Wausau East. And then you got Wausau West, who have won back-to-back Valley Football Association championships. This year's team looks like a team that could do some special things. In the 50-plus years of Wausau West High School football, never have been beyond the Level 2 playoffs. They were at Level 2 last year. This team has the look of one that could go even deeper. It's really going to be an interesting journey with Wausau West starting tomorrow night. Again, I'll be heading up with the Warriors tomorrow to Superior for the season opener from Superior High School. 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And also, other great stories around Central Wisconsin. In fact, the D.C. Everest Evergreens tonight open their season. Thursday night, they're at Green Bay Preble. So, again, if you have an opportunity, go out there. Support the student-athletes. Support your neighbors. It's something that you really want to put your arms around. Be able to support the community. I think it's really important. So, again, something that we need to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on sports as well as news and have some positive things to talk about. So that's coming up in the second hour. Tyler Kramer will be joining us here on the program. A CBS News update is coming up. That will be followed by our weather forecast coming up at 9:06. We'll be talking to Jennifer Vucicki from weatherology.com. So another hour to go. Glad you could join me. I'm Chad Holmes. It is Thursday morning. Nice start. Some clouds out there, but still temperature nice. I like that little tinge of coolness in the air to start things off. But more to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.